get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Woo! Eric Stromer is in the studio. He's the host of Over Your Head on HGTV. Also, While You're Gay.
That's right.
Oops. On HGTV2. He just dropped his mic. And my co-host for the pilot, of course, of Top Gear. And we never really talked about that because we couldn't really talk about it, but I guess we can sort of talk about it now.
Yeah, we were bound up by corporate legal horror, so we couldn't really get into it.
But let's talk about that, and then we'll talk about you, and we'll talk about everything else.
All right. By the way, congratulations on this fancy new internet thing that you got going.
Thanks.
Fantastic, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's taken a while to get you on, but I'm glad you're here. One of the nicest guys I've ever had the pleasure of working with, and a bona fide home improvement guy, not just a pretty face behind a hammer. Even has a black fingernail, by the way.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've gone goth or you actually hit
yourself. No, this is from the reciprocating saw with the finger too far in near the blade. And getting it whack over and over again on it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The reciprocating saw, also known as a Sawzall, also known as a bayonet saw.
That's the one. And I can't use Sawzall on my show
because
it's a brand name, so I'm used to saying.
You guys are using DeWalt.
Yeah.
And you can't say Sawzall.
No, sir.
Yeah. Now, what do you do? Do you guys are you sponsored by a tool company?
I was sponsored by Craftsman for a while, and then that ended, and now it's all comers. So pretty much any different. You know, it's the ad sale thing with these shows where they buy in and then they give you a bunch of tools and you use them.
What is your tool? What do you like?
My favorite thing in the world, I think it would probably be the tile saw because I made my living doing that.
The wet saw.
Yes, the MK.
With the diamond blade.
Yes.
Beautiful red. Majestic red.
Yes, majestic red and shoots the water out and it's just a fantastic thing.
Yeah.
And you can touch that blade, you know, and it doesn't
touch your hand. I know, it's like the only blade that actually feels good.
It does feel good.
You know,
but I think I spent probably a total of 3 total years in time with my face in front of that thing cutting tile for about 20 years.
Getting that weird spray of tile dust and hose water that kicks off the blade that either goes on your face or against the wall of whatever it is you're working on.
That's right.
And if you cut like 300 terracotta tiles, they'll have a weird terracotta ghost that'll be on the wall of the stucco wall of wherever you had this thing set up. That'll never
leave, go
by
away.
The way. It's
and
like
then, Hiroshima. And then, like by year 19, I figured if I put plastic behind the saw, I avoid.
It's always
funny. That.
By year 19, you realize that 20 cents worth of Visqueen and a couple dabs of duct tape, and you could avoid this spray of the water wheel that's
gives
coming
you
off the saw.
That gives you another day of labor for free because you didn't,
right,
you
didn't
clean
have to
up
scrub
your crap.
The wall.
Yeah, you got to clean your crap up, you know.
Yeah, so people ask me sometimes what tools I like. I don't know why I don't like DeWalt. Always bothers me. Maybe it's that other people like DeWalt.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Feels like Black & Decker's like a hoity-toityer older cousin, but same parents,
Don't like the color.
Ergonomics. I don't like anything about DeWalt, and the batteries wear out too fast for me, and that's all.
Have you done this Festool thing before? Have you tried that brand?
Oh, the German company.
The German stuff. It feels like a fine automobile.
Weird green colored stuff.
Yeah. It's amazing stuff.
Super high end.
You wouldn't have it unless you were a fancy cabinet guy.
Right. Well, I shall explore that.
Please
now,
do.
Eric and I not only have the bond of home improvement, and you being basically you were a contractor, but you did bathrooms.
I did
mainly. That was
well, kitchens too.
Kitchens and bathrooms.
Yeah.
But you weren't just a tile contractor.
No. I ended up being a general and doing remodels for all sorts of folks.
And we did a little show called Top Gear, which turned out quite nicely. I don't know if you ever saw the finished product.
I sure did. I thought I laughed out loud. My kids loved it.
It was a shame that it never made the air, but as far as we go, I feel like it was mission accomplished because you did a great job on it.
Well,
of
thanks.
Course.
You were, and of course, you were a genius.
I was a genius. But we had, you know, their idea was we should go through Death Valley in these old clunkers. And I don't know what Now, what month did we go through?
It was the hottest month that you could go through. Because it was the summer. I know. It was like August, I think.
Yeah.
July or August.
And now, you stop me if I'm exaggerating about this.
Yeah.
But when we drove through Death Valley, and we drove an entire day through Death Valley, we got to Badwater Basin.
Lowest point on Earth.
Lowest point in North America.
In North America, there.
This hemisphere, right. I guess. Maybe not on Earth. And by the way, it's funny how unimpressively low the lowest point on Earth is. It's like, not on Earth, but in North America or in this hemisphere, whatever it is. It's like 270 feet.
Right.
275 feet or something below sea level or something like
and
that.
And there's no reference to it because there are mountains all around you, so it doesn't feel any different than any other valley.
There is a mark on the mountain behind Badwater Basin that says this is where sea level would be. Now, we weren't in cars that were air conditioned.
Right.
But when I got into like the Suburban or whatever we'd rented, that was running nonstop.
Which, by the way, was about an ambient temperature with AC about 100.
Yeah, with the air going the whole time. And I was looking at the readout on the, I think it was the rearview mirror had the temperature thing worked, that little square that had the temperature worked into it.
Right.
I think I got a picture of it, or somebody got a picture of it. At one point, it went to like 131.
Right.
Like, we're not talking about 118 or 120. We're talking about 129, 130, 131. Yeah.
How I knew it was hot was that I pissed into the wind and the piss spray came back toward me but evaporated before it hit my torso, so I had nothing on my body.
See, if you just hung that Visqueen on your balls, you could have avoided
it. It's a recurring theme for me.
I know you guys know I know how to complain, but I can't do this justice. I can't tell you what 130 degrees feels like when you're outside.
Right.
I mean, a 105 is oppressive. Somehow, you know, the difference, I guess it's that sort of thing where, you know, if it's 95 degrees outside, it's a hot day, but you can still mow the lawn.
Sure.
If it's 107 degrees outside, you can't go outside.
Right.
Well, the difference between 107 and 128 degrees is mammoth.
That's it.
It is.
I found my brain stopped working, so I couldn't express things that I needed. I just kind of was dribbling and drooling and wandering around.
I was in Firebird. Thank God it was Midnight Blue.
Your car actually was the champion.
Yeah.
People need to know that.
My car was a Midnight Blue Firebird, so it really soaked up the heat. It had no headliner in it, so the heat that was radiating off of my head, you know, I'm a tall guy, it's a Firebird, my head was about an inch and a half or 2 inches away from the sheet metal that you could fry fucking egg on.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it was, you would burn your hand if you touch the roof of my car from the inside where the headliner wasn't.
Right.
And I had my car rigged up. It's part of the challenge with a wall mount air conditioning, like an AC unit, like out of a cheap motel room, and a generator on the back of the car. But it didn't work. And I would be frequently driving for an hour at a time in 125 degree weather with zero air conditioning in my car. And it was backbreaking.
No, it was bad. And then my system of cooling was one of those hand pumping devices with a shower head rigged.
Hudson sprayer.
A Hudson sprayer with a hand shower. And it did.
And an awning.
And an awning, yeah. So it essentially looked like a cruise ship or something.
And Eric was driving, I don't know, 84 Porsche.
Yeah.
And at some point, blew a partial head gasket partially blew a head gasket. But that was before we entered Death Valley. And decided to keep trucking anyway, but the car kept overheating.
And you were kind enough to get behind my vehicle on the highway and just shove my car forward by ramming me several times. So it worked out pretty well. It was actually a dream come true To be able to be on a car, a highway with other friends and just screw around and try to fuck each other's car up.
Bump each other and screw around. Yeah. Tanner Faust, who just got nipped at the X Games, by the way, recently, sadly, in the rally division, made it to the semifinals, was going up against a guy who was really fast, but they were neck and neck, and just sort of blew the shift kind of thing.
It came down to that. Was it that same guy that he's always 1 and 2 with, Travis?
No, it's not Pastrana. This was another up-and-coming kid from like Australia. But anyway, Tanner, great driver, great drifter. And, memories. So driving through Death Valley, that kind of heat inside that car was absolutely unbelievable. We also, our base camp was in Pahrump. And Jesus Christ, I didn't know. I'd heard of the town.
Yeah, isn't it some? So there's a. It's a whore, hooker haven or something. What is it? The brothel capital of the world.
It's when hookers run out of speed, like when hookers decide to hang up their stripping wedgies and their hooker wedgies and just start making meth. That's where they go.
And they use the Lucite heels and melt it down to create lab equipment.
We stayed in about the nicest place you could stay in Pahrump, but there's that was not very nice.
No, it wasn't. But scary. And there's also some, isn't there some UFO activity associated?
Oh, yeah, thing? Yeah. I think that's, is that by Area 54?
Yeah, I think so. 57.
Right. But places in... Boys, that place dicey.
But if you were an alien, why wouldn't you want to go find old hookers and prostitutes?
God, and we stayed in such a run-down, old, fucked up... I got the suite, by the way, but the suite is not so sweet when it's from the 60s, and there's a jacuzzi tub that God knows what kind of debauchery went on in there. And I had the carpet in my room. I had the indoor-outdoor carpet. And it was, the seam was busted, like it was pulling apart at the seam. And the place was so scary that when I got out of the shower, I didn't want to walk barefoot to the living room, like through the living room.
I feel the same way. do you get in the bathtubs in hotels ever? Do you ever lay on the bedspread?
No, not a lay on. This place scared me. I was on the first floor, and the back of my bedroom, the whole window thing was the back parking lot right off the highway. So you'd see the headlights come pulling in. Yeah. And if some guy was drunk, he'd just drive right through your bedroom. God damn, that was a shitty 3 days at Pahrump. Area 51.
That's it. Right. I loved it.
God, that place is a fucked up dump, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And there was a winery there where I almost choked to death and died on my chicken, and you simply looked at me.
I didn't exactly snap into action.
You didn't jump immediately.
Eric and I were sitting next to each other when we went out for dinner with the cast and crew of the program, and the ill-fated program. And at some point, Eric began to choke. And I was sitting closest to him, and I think I was the only person who knew you were choking.
You did notice. Thank you. That was very nice.
And I didn't want to embarrass you by hopping up and screaming as somebody, a doctor, performing
And I didn't want to embarrass myself by revealing that I was choking. So we had this sort of unwritten agreement. Let's just stare at each other.
So I just stared at you and watched you turn different shades of blue.
That's right.
While you choked. Now, at a certain point... Like when you fell out of your chair, I would have jumped up and yelled, this man is choking.
That's right.
But I just stared at
Or
Eric.
You would have just taken my chicken off the plate and finished it and watched me die.
Yes. So that was our time in Pahrump. And actually, the highlight of the whole trip is, well, there was a funny moment. We were coming home. It was one of those things where I had had enough of Pahrump. I'd had enough of, or Pahrump. I don't even know how you pronounce it. I'd had enough of 130 degree weather inside a car that wasn't air conditioned. I'd had enough of Death Valley. I mean, Death Valley in August is absolutely brutal. They, as a matter of fact, we saw a couple of cars they were testing. I think the BMW. I think they were doing that BMW.
The diesel
six,
one or no?
They were doing that 6 Series, the crossover. Sort of, you know, not not the SUV, not the sports car, but that sort of I saw that one there, because you go, if you're manufacturing a car, even a German car, you have to go to Death Valley and drive to test the durability and the cooling system and so on and forth. But it is so, nothing can live in that environment.
No.
Not even Stromer's piss.
My piss didn't even survive.
So Stromer was driving around, by the way, for a while with the hood open on his
car.
That's
right. That was our solution to getting more air and venting the motor.
The car that was overheating. But when it came time to leave, I remember thinking, all right, I've had enough Pahrump. I've had enough Death Valley. I've had enough of this shit.
Right.
Let's get the fuck out of here. And we gave the keys to the Suburban to Tanner Faust.
Right.
And I was like, Tanner, do that Tokyo drift, baby. It was dark. There's nobody in Death Valley. Even cops won't go into Death Valley in August. And we just did 100 miles an hour.
But didn't you feel, I felt strangely secure having him drive. Because you feel the guy can be in any adverse driving condition and save our lives.
The guy has spent more time sideways than he has
straight.
He's a drifting champion.
Right.
So get sick. So he went apeshit with the driving. We got out of Death Valley. Like, I mean, the guy said, you remember this? We were in the middle of Death Valley, and I was like, what is the fastest way to get back to L.A.?
Right.
And we talked to one highway patrolman, and he was like, go that way and head toward Vegas. And then we talked to the other guy, and he's like, go that way and go toward Yosemite.
Right.
And they're both the same. They both patrolled the same area.
Totally different answer.
Totally. One pointed one way, the other pointed the other way.
Right.
And then we all sat in the car. And we, like, argued about it. We're like, should we go that way and head toward, I guess it'd be like Yosemite or something. Or should we go that way and head toward Vegas? And we went back and forth and back and forth. And eventually we just said, look, let's go toward Vegas because that's the direction we know. That one cop said go that way.
That's right.
So we went toward Vegas. And Tanner Faust hauled ass. And we got to Vegas. And we got to, like, Barstow or something. We got to the Great Greek. And we got on to what is that, the 14 there?
Didn't we eat there at the
Well, restaurant? We ate there because we had to turn around.
Because of the traffic.
We got onto the freeway and the entire freeway was closed. And I was in one of those, if I can make it home by 8 o'clock, then I can watch The Sopranos, you know?
Right,
and it was
one
of those things, and we'd made crazy time out of Death Valley. Like, they said to take 3 hours. We did like an hour and 20 minutes with Tanner's crazy,
really fast,
crazy driving. When we got on the freeway, what is that, Donnie, that goes to Vegas through Baker and everything?
Is it the 14?
Is it the 14 that goes through there? I've driven it 1,000 times. I should know what the fuck it is.
Yeah.
Is it the 14 that goes through Area 51? There's too many fucking numbers in my head. Well, the one that goes by the Bun Boy and through Baker and by the Great Greek and all that shit.
Great Greek was not bad, actually.
I know. It. Yeah, no. The
57?
The 15? The 15. All right, there's only one
all wrong.
Yeah, so we're on the 15. We're on the 15, and now it's like, all right, Tanner, we've made it to the 15. You've hauled ass. Now we're in Baker. It's 10 o'clock at night. We're going to make it home in 2 hours and 10 minutes now. We get on to the 15. It's completely shut down.
Right.
Utterly shut down. Turn around, go back a couple of off ramps, go to the Great Greek and sit down and talk.
That's
what's going on?
Right.
Couple of truckers come in. What's going on with the 15, boys?
Yeah, 2 hours up, they say.
They're like, 2 hours, 5 miles up the road, tanker truck.
Right.
Jackknife.
Jackknife, big rig.
Big rig, jackknife. Bobcat and big rig, jackknife. So, jackknife, all lanes closed.
That's it.
All lanes closed. Could take hours to clear it off.
Mm-hmm.
So first I start cursing the cop.
Yeah.
That fucking cop, why did he tell us to go this way? We should have. Then I start telling everyone else, why didn't we go toward Yosemite? This is what happens. We could have been out of it, but no, we went this way. So now we're stuck. And now we're all tired as shit because by the way, the heat, like you said, it was like taking a light beating for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, and I got a good rally gene, but at a certain point after putting down a Giro or a Hero or a Gyro, whatever they whatever those yeah. Greeks make. After that and a little tahini and hummus.
It's like you're on Thorazine.
I stood up and had to do a move where I had to, like, steady myself yeah. on the table a little. Right, like, I, I felt a little lightheaded from the day of 130-degree temperatures.
Right.
So I was like, God damn it. What the fuck are we going to do? The freeway's closed down. Someone was talking about driving back through Death Valley. And we're like, nah, we're not going to do that. And then some trucker said, you could drive through the National Forest.
Yeah.
And it was like the Black Forest. Nobody goes that way, but you drive through that forest.
That's
it's like National Forest. It wasn't really forest, like desert. You go through that way, and you can hook up with this other interstate.
Right.
And we were like,
and it was pitch black.
It was pitch black.
And he's drifting around all the
hairpin
turns.
And we were like, look, well, either we can sit here in the Great Greek for another 5 hours and wait for the 15 to clear up, or Tanner.
Do your thing,
do your thing, baby. And Tanner just started driving through the whatever national forest. I don't even know what it was. It was pitch black.
Yeah.
We were like catching air.
Yeah. My head kept hitting the roof every so often.
We were driving a Suburban that had like five guys in it, loaded with fuck. Thank God we got a few beers. Loaded. Tanner wasn't drinking, but fuck that. I was going to have a beer.
Yeah.
Loaded with equipment. And I was sitting up front. And I could see that Tanner couldn't see over the next hill.
Right.
Like, it was just blacktop. And we're doing 90 and, like, catching air.
Like, 2-3-inch air all the time.
And it was like a rally, except for with no navigator. Like, I was like, Tanner, you don't know what's on the other side of this hill, dude. And
right.
I'm like, nope. Like, hauling ass.
Right.
So we just hauled ass all the way home. Got onto the, I don't know what you get onto once you get to the other side of the National Forest.
Right.
Hooked up with that.
Done.
Made it home like 9 hours
Sopranos.
Later. Pulled up. No, we pulled up my driveway. It was like 2:30 in the morning.
That's right.
Or something.
Yeah. Drunk, heat exhaustion.
Jesus Christ. And that shit never made the air.
No, it didn't. But God bless the story, right?
Yeah. It's like now we're Band of Brothers.
Yeah.
We've been to hell and back.
It's an unwritten thing, man.
I think we got some phone calls.
Get out of here. We'll take them.
Yeah, we got a Skype phone call.
Oh, yeah,
call.
We do.
Let me try to put my cans on. Hello?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah. What's your name?
Hey, my name is Melissa. And actually, Adam, I don't know if you recall, but I called a few weeks ago about the composite decking.
Yeah, I remember that well. Yeah. We're talking about going
I want to tell you that we tried, and we definitely went with the composite decking. And I'll tell you, it worked out really, really well. So.
You mean like Trex or something?
Yeah. Going with this stuff that was, you know, made out of the polymer stuff and pre-finished and all that stuff.
Never have to do anything again.
And it's like insect resistant, mildew resistant.
It
doesn't warp or propeller or crown or crack or
anything.
And it
looks pretty damn good, too, doesn't it?
Well, that's the whole point. Now it looks good.
It used to look like milk crates years ago.
Well, back in the day, if you had, you know, a Mustang II with the wood grain steering wheel, it looked like shit.
Right.
Now, you can do a wood grain and make it out of plastic, and it actually works.
Right.
And they have a system for fastening it now, so you don't see all the screw holes going through it, which, by the way, just collect water and rot out the wood. Sorry,
exactly.
Go ahead.
No, so thank you for that advice. And I forgot to say this last time, but big, big, big fan. Love the podcast and been listening and watching you for many years. And I think this is great.
Thanks.
And Eric, you are great. You're easy on the eyes and you're not a douchebag like Ty Pennington. So.
Ah, you're the best. I love you. Thank you.
So, I do have a question, though. So my husband and I do a lot of house projects together. That's cunning. And our anniversary is coming up in a couple weeks. And what is like the go-to tool that I should buy him for our anniversary?
Ooh, well, we're just talking about that wet saw.
Yes.
It's making me wet just talking about that thing.
Don't you think you got to have...
You got to do a tiling project too, so that's a good idea.
Yes, but you know, you can just rent a wet saw and be done with it, not have to have it sitting around in the garage, because it's pretty big. It's about 4 feet long, you know what I mean?
It is a boat. I mean, it's literally built like a barge.
Do you have a good a cordless drill? Because, I mean, you got to have one of those.
Well, that's the thing. He has them, but he doesn't have anything really nice. So this is our anniversary, so I figured, you know... Just go all out for the old man.
Oh, you know what? How about a Hitachi chop saw with a laser guidance on it? What do you think of that?
Compound miter.
Compound miter. You bought $350, $400. Beautiful mechanism.
Really?
Very accurate.
Well, let me see what you have in your arsenal. Because I also like the new, I also like the new cordless impact drivers too, where you can drive that nice 3-inch drywall screw, yes, with the impact action.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
That's really nice. I mean, once you start driving, yes, screws with that thing, you don't want to go back to just the, you know, variable speed cordless drill anymore.
Crap.
So
that's a good point.
How much are you looking? How much are you looking to spend?
You know what? For my old man, anything.
Ooh. 150
well,
bucks.
Buy him a fucking yacht then, bitch.
Okay, but not that.
Okay. I mean,
I'm talking not a car, not a yacht, something like a tool.
All right. Could you go up to $500?
Yeah.
Okay. And you have screw guns, but you don't have the new ratcheting style one. I mean, the impact style.
No, we don't have anything like that.
Yeah,
okay.
That's a good one.
Makita makes a nice one. Hitachi makes a nice one. Again, it's like 18-volt battery. It has it has the hex head on it. It doesn't have the head on it. It doesn't have a chuck on it. It has a head on it, and it's like, and it sinks screws all day long.
All day
I mean,
long.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So get him that, and
yeah,
and you don't have a chop saw.
Nope.
All right. Well, then I go with the laser. Yeah, the Hitachi laser compound miter. Meaning you can turn the blade 45 degrees and you can turn it 45 degrees the other
saw
way. Great for crown molding and all that stuff. It's made of like aluminum, so it's lightweight. I think it's a 10-inch blade. Get him a nice 60-tooth carbide blade, too, like a nice accessory with
got
that,
it
too. Those two things combined will be about $500, and
he'll love you.
He'll love you for life,
and
baby,
you'll get great shelving and crown molding for,
yeah,
the rest of time.
Sweet. I like it. Thanks.
Yep.
Thanks, sweetheart. Oh, what a woman.
What a nice person.
What a
I think
good
I'm
woman
in love with her.
That's a solid woman,
yeah,
right
it is
there. Yeah. Yeah, I like that new there's a lot of stuff, you know, ever since I got out of the business that I really dig, and one of them is that ratchet or impact battery powered impact.
Three
gun
and a half, those those long deck screws that are the same color as,
mm-hmm,
the decks with the larger Phillips head bit. You,
yeah,
can drive those in with that
all
thing you're talking
long
about literally,
yeah,
in like 5 seconds.
Yeah, they're like beefy drywall screws,
yeah,
and they're like coarse thread and they're deckers essentially. And
right,
you can drive those things all day long with that. Has,
yeah,
that nice ratcheting action.
Sure does, yeah.
We got another call?
Yeah, we do. We got Justin from Dallas on the phone.
Justin?
Hey, Adam.
What's happening, Justin?
I'd like to talk without having to hear T snore over you.
It is nice. What's going on?
Oh, I'm watching the Bills come back to beat the Oilers on the NFL Network. I love that show.
Oh, Frank Reich.
Yeah.
What a game. Yeah, you know, it's funny because I did I actually interviewed Warren Moon, and I did bring that up. That was a classic game. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, quick thing, yours is my favorite podcast, but I also listen to the Pretty Good podcast with Gina Grad and Randy Wang.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to see if you're ever going to be a guest on their show, maybe come on with Conway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love Randy Wang, and I love Gina Grad. And I should say I know Gina Grad. I don't know her that well, but Randy, of course, worked for our show for many years. And, yes, I would be honored to be a guest on their podcast.
Great. Quick question for Eric. I've got a patio that has been added on twice. So now I've got three sections where different color cements, different size aggregate, and I'm just trying to make it not look like an afterthought. And I don't know, is there a stain that I can put over it or put a thin set of cement and stain that?
Are they all, they're all slab things? Like,
right.
Okay, and then are there seams that attach each one or are they just sort of free-floating?
Right. Their seams, and they were added for like drainage issues.
And would you have an interest in tiling everything and unifying it? Because I think the worst thing in a home is to have five different elements going on in the house. It makes it look really hodgepodge, and it doesn't feel finished from a design standpoint. Would you have any interest in unifying it all, where at least it would all be tile or stone?
Stromer loves tile. You got to understand. Like one time, I was talking about getting one of my Ferraris reupholstered the seats, and he was like, why don't you just tile it?
Just tile that shit.
Just use porcelain, just use tile. And I'll grout it. And I was like, well, I feel like it wouldn't stick to the foam. Oh, no, we'll put some mastic on there.
We'll
I'll get
a soft ceramic.
We'll put a soft ceramic on there. And I was like, well, but what about the grouting? Not if I add acrylic to it. It'll be fine. We'll go with the sanded grout.
And then you can just hose the interior out, man.
And yeah, there's no, there's nothing that Stromer doesn't want to tile. I was like, no. Talking about having to get my kids a.
My kids on a nursery.
They need a new
nursery,
bed. But... They want to tile. They want to tile their bed. They want to tile the outside of my car.
Yeah, you know, piss is not a problem in my family anymore. You just hose them off.
You go out to eat with. You go out to the Great Greek with Stromer. He's like, "You have any tile?" And they're like, "No, just beef, chorizo, and chicken. No tile at all. No terracotta at all."
You know what? You know what? Now, the other thing, too, are the textures all different? Because if they weren't different, you could theoretically do some kind of a concrete stain to unify it. But if they are different...
The textures aren't different. It just looks different because the rock in there are different sizes.
Okay, so here's the deal. The tile is going to add an inch to the height of what you're talking about, pretty much. So do you have that inch?
Right, I do.
You do have that inch.
Right.
And obviously the tile's going to look cool.
Or stone. I'd like natural buff stone or something like that. It depends on the architectural style of the house. What do you got?
What do you good point.
It's a brick house.
Oh, yeah. How about brick? You want to do brick or is that too much brick?
No, that's too much brick. Too much height. I mean, it's a large space.
Okay, let me tell you a couple. I'll tell you what I know. Concrete, if you want to farm this out, there are companies that do this all day long now, and it actually looks pretty good. They can color it. They can put stamps in it.
Yeah.
They can put textures in it. They can stain it. They can do all kinds of finishes on it. And they probably need about 2 inches. You probably can't go much thinner than a couple inches, maybe an inch and a half. But you're going to have to add at least that. They do it. They'll just give you a per square foot price.
Yeah.
You can go look through their catalog. They'll have a million different colors and a million different textures. And you can do shit that looks like terracotta tile, but it's not even terracotta tile. It's just poured orange concrete, and then they'll actually carve the lines into it and actually grout the lines so it really looks like individual tiles. There's every kind of stamp and every kind of color now. So if you really just kind of want to do it right and you don't want to hassle it and you just want to farm it out and you want to forget about it, get one of the many companies that specialize in that just to come over and give you a few estimates.
Right. But if you do want to do tile or stone, since you already have a cement base, it would be very easy to do.
Right. Because half the hassle of doing tile is the substrate.
Exactly.
It's what's underneath it. And if you're just starting off with a slab, you're halfway home. The other way to do it, if you just want to sort of fuck it and forget about it, is just literally get concrete paint. I mean, it doesn't hold up that great. You have to do it every couple of years. They just get a foam roller.
The epoxy stuff, two-stage epoxy.
Get the two-part stuff. And nowadays, they just make single one-part stuff. And just use a foam roller and just, you know, clean it. Probably hit it with a pressure washer or something like that. Make sure it's all clean and dry. And then just literally just roll it out. It'll look great for about a week, and it'll start looking crappy.
Then,
you know, 2 years later, you do it again before you barbecue. So that's...
You could also do the whole thing in Pebble Tech, where you just throw that pebble stuff down with adhesive. It looks a little like the Hef's Grotto.
Kind of tile?
It looks like Hef's Grotto a little bit.
Yeah. So the Pebble Tech, Kimmel did his pool in its tank.
You don't like it?
I don't like it.
All right, fine.
All right.
But that's also tile, right?
No, the Pebble Tech is another system. It's a system where they have like a binder that has pebbles in it. Do you want to spend any money on this? Do you want to do it yourself?
I'd like Eric to.
You want Eric to tell you?
All right, well, shit. Bring me down. Where do you live?
Dallas.
Dallas? Okay. Just
or is that the last guy?
Yeah, get me a cowboy hat and a six-pack, and I'm good to go.
All right. Hang up on yourself. Thank you. All right, Donnie, have any more? I got another call.
Yeah, we got Bruce coming up here.
Bruce? Sweet.
Hey, Adam, what's up?
What's going on, Bruce?
Hi, Bruce.
Hey, how you doing? Big-time fan, man. How's it going?
Thanks. You have a question?
Yeah. I was wondering what you guys felt about radiant heat, you know, the stuff that you would put under the floor.
I love radiant heat.
What's the cost effectiveness and as far as installation?
By the way, I look at it as an attack on me and Eric Stromer when you say radiant heat and then you pause and go, you know the stuff you put under the floor. Are you fucking high, son? Of course we know what radiant heat is. Radiant heat works very well. I've never heard, I don't know anybody who's ever put in radiant heat and said, screw this sucks.
Right.
Like they're all in love with it. They have kits you can get on the internet. It's fairly inexpensive. You need, of course, the actual tubing that gets embedded into the concrete if that's the way you're going. You need a manifold, which is like where it ends up, and it's, you know, where there's some valves and some whatever. You need a heat supply, which is like a tankless water heater type system. And other than that, it's, you know, some pretty light plumbing, and it's I'd give it a 3, not a 3 out of 10. I'd say I'd give it a 3 out of 5 on the sort of difficulty level. And the main thing you want to do, especially if you're doing a slab, is you want to pressure test the whole thing before you pour the concrete.
And also, a lot of people don't – you have to suspend that tube off the substrate in between, essentially in the middle of the slab. And a lot of people just dump the cement right on top. And you can have problems, and they can kink when you're pouring your concrete.
Yeah, you
got to make sure you know what's going on. Otherwise, you can screw yourself.
Yeah. Why? Now, are you doing a slab?
No. It's going under tile.
It's going under tile, but what's the tile going on top of?
What's the tile going on top of?
Yeah.
They're not going to. Go ahead.
Yeah, that would be a slab.
Right. So it is going into a slab.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
So as long as and you're going to have somebody else do it.
I was thinking of doing it myself.
Okay.
All right. Hey, listen, I got some even better news for you. I was going to put this whole system in my garage.
Yeah.
And I didn't. So now it's sitting here in my shop. And I'm like,
wow.
I'm this close to giving it to you. It's really
well, like, in Virginia, I have to take a ride out there.
$1,500 worth of radiant flooring, whatever. And I swear to God, if you pay for the shipping, I will give this shit to you. It's brand
right,
new.
Ship it.
How many square feet are you planning on doing?
About 200.
Oh, okay. Well, this is enough to cover a couple thousand square feet. But either way, I swear, I got the tubing. I got all the stuff, and I was thinking about packing it up and trying to give it back. But look, are you a loyal listener to the podcast?
Yeah, I listen to you every single episode.
Sounds like free radiant heat to me.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a free radiant. I have the heat. I got everything. So I'll tell you what, I'll put you on hold.
All right.
And give us like your shipping address.
Okay.
And then send us over like $8,000 for postage and handling.
$8,000 and some blow.
And then I'll deliver it. And probably in 3 to 9 weeks, it should show up. No, seriously.
Three to 9 weeks.
Allow 3 to 9 weeks for shipping.
Okay.
No, seriously, give me your mailing address.
Okay.
I will get all this crap together, and if you pay for postage, and I'll send you the whole system.
That's a good deal. I don't know what you're waiting
for. It's brand new.
Can I tell you, too, the way it feels when it's installed, it's the most amazing ambient temperature you're going to experience.
You want to lay down and make love on
the floor. You just want to make love to yourself on the floor.
Yeah. All right. So, All right, now hold on and give Donnie or Jerry or Gabe or one of our guys in there your info.
I just looked up the post. It's 8,500, so it's a little better than we thought.
All right, so how's the family doing?
You know what? The family's great. The kids are fantastic. I got Wyatt, the 11-year-old, playing drums. He actually just played drums for Melissa Etheridge. On
Wyatt,
stage.
Your 11-year-old.
My 11-year-old is so good.
Play drums
for Melissa Etheridge. Isn't that
really
amazing? And I mean, you know, it's like watching, for me, it's like watching your kid, you know, play in the National Football League or something. It was so cool to watch him do that. So he's doing great. And
I mean, how does that work?
Well, you know, he's at a school where they were doing a big old fundraiser, and she was kind enough to lend her talent, and you know, they needed a drummer, and there was Wyatt. He's really good. So they let him do it.
Do you think he'll be a professional drummer?
I think he's got an amazing talent and ability with rhythm. He's really good. If he wants to do it. I keep telling him don't, because drummers don't make any money.
Right.
I prefer him to be a producer.
Right. And
I just don't want to be the guy, the parent that hears, the parents of the defendant please rise. Anything other than that is just fun.
So you have the... He has a drum kit.
He's got a DW drum set. This guy, I play drums too, so I've had drums around my whole life. So he just picked it up, loves it.
And is he banging away every day?
Every day. Yeah.
And
He's in the orchestra.
Should you wear earplugs if you play the drums?
Yes.
At a young age?
I think you should.
Because it'll screw up the little hairs.
Screws up the little hair. Whatever those, what are those called? The cochlea or the nublia?
Whatever it is, you can screw it up.
Yeah, you can.
It's funny. We've just realized that we've been on this planet for several million years, and it's only in the last, like, 8 years we figured out. Loud noises are bad. And we figured out the sun is bad. Yeah. Loud noises are bad. Like, all the ways you can screw yourself up just doing the same shit.
In the last 8 years.
In the last 8 years. I've screamed.
But nonetheless, never been more fat or obese as a nation. Mm-hmm. That freaks me out. Like, we know all this shit, but fat people are more rampant than ever in our
past. I mean, obviously, it's a couple things. First off, if everyone is fat, then how fat are you when you're fat? Do you know what I mean? I mean, we've talked about it on this podcast before. We went to high school, and there was junior high. There was one fat kid.
Right.
Now everyone's a fat kid.
Right.
So
and they pick on the thin ones. Now.
Right. It ain't no big deal.
Right.
Anymore. Right.
Yes.
I mean, we used to be able to. You know what we need to do? I'll tell you what. Symbolically, I'll tell you what happened in life, literally and also symbolically. We took the rope down from gym class. And
the
you
mean the gym rope, literally?
The gym rope.
Remember the gym rope?
The gym rope came down literally, but also symbolically.
Yes.
Because what happened is when I was in junior high, they had the rope. And you'd have to line up and you'd have to make it up that rope. And if you couldn't make it up the rope, Mr. Walters would stand halfway under the rope and yell up and call you a pussy and a pansy.
I would, and a homo. Or lard ass.
Lard ass. Come on, let's go. And then you would get shamed.
Right.
Stromer can't make it up the rope, everybody.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we're not going anywhere until Stromer gets up this rope.
That's it.
And then you would just get shamed into making it up the rope. Every gym class, every junior high,
you know,
and
what?
Every
that
high
is
school gym
absolutely
had a rope.
Yes.
And now what happened is kids got fat. They couldn't make it up the rope. And so what did we do? Instead of thinning the kids out and yelling at them louder, we got rid of the rope.
And then you know what's even worse? Then they took away dodgeball.
That's right.
Give me a fucking break.
They took away the dodgeball. So the parents would complain. My kid came home. He didn't feel good about
His
himself.
His feelings were hurt.
Because he couldn't make it up the rope. And Mr. Walter shamed him. And the school board got together and they went, you know what? Let's get rid of the ropes.
Right.
And that way, no one will ever feel bad about themselves.
Right.
Well, meanwhile, now we're morbidly obese. I mean, we are.
And know more about health and the idea behind it than ever before.
But we're morally weak. And there's a fast food joint on every corner, and it's open 24/7. And we're
rewarded and enhanced with big gulps.
Big gulps. And not only that, but I don't, you know, I'm into the free enterprise, do your own thing. But I got to say, it is funny. Like, there was a campaign that went on about 20 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, when Coke was trying to sell Coke for breakfast. Hey, man, Coke for breakfast. Like, hey, what do you need with that coffee? How about have a Coke with breakfast? And I was like, how about you just dump it on your Captain Crunch? Like, shouldn't these people be stopped?
Yeah.
Coke for breakfast, and we do, you know, you can't advertise cigarettes on TV because they're bad for people.
Right.
Coke for breakfast, no problem. Yeah. And then I like this one too. Taco Bell introduces the fourth meal. Like, what's that fourth meal, Taco Bell? The fourth meal, Taco Bell alerted us to a fourth meal that we weren't aware of.
Yeah, now we know.
I thought brunch was the fourth meal. I was wrong. Evidently, there's a fourth meal that takes place between midnight and 2 a.m. when you're fucking drunk.
When you're coming down.
That comes from Taco Bell.
That's it.
And it's like, now the fourth meal with Taco Bell, open late. So basically, you're going in there and shoving some Taco Bell down your throat.
That's right.
2:30 in the morning,
right.
You're going to wake up.
And then looking forward to a hearty breakfast of Coke and bacon.
Coke for breakfast. So right after I'm done with Taco Bell's fourth meal, then I'm going over and I'm going to drink myself a Coke the following morning. And then all this bullshit, like I have to tell people all the time with all this like vitamin water and, you know, Gatorade and Super Sports, whatever. Right. A shitload of caramel coloring and chemicals and high fructose corn syrup and all these kids. Like, You don't see kids. Kids are walking around with purple Gatorade everywhere. And
yeah, when the colors in food don't correlate with nature,
anything
you know,
that exists
in
nature,
you know it's wrong.
Unless it's like on the chest of a peacock. Yes, it's of course. So ever and you know, we used to drink a Coke when I was a kid too, but it was kind of like it was a treat. I remember when I played Pop Warner football after the football game. You got, well, it was like a Shasta.
Sure.
Because, of course, yeah. Coke would have been another nickel.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, drank a Shasta. Mike Chaffee's in the next room. He's actually bought something from...
he's got a big gulp. Look at him.
It's called the dunk tank.
Yes,
you actually crawl inside
of it. And drink your way out.
And you drink your way out. You will drown if you can't drink 180
they get, what they,
ounces
they give you
of
a
Coke.
Little Speedo. And
they give you a Speedo. You go out... You go out to the 7-Eleven, you sit in it.
And they pour it like a gas station.
And they drop you into the dunk tank of Coke. Yeah. And the people aren't doing the math. Like, look, one Coke alone is, 12 teaspoons of sugar.
That's right.
Mike Chaffee has 14 Cokes.
Look at that one.
Into one cup. Big gulp. Everything's massive now. And... of course, the sizes are absolutely insane. Every commercial you see now for food, it's all about cheapness and quantity. If
That's
you think
right.
about, hey, man, come down to the hometown buffet and show a guy with a Fred Flintstone rack of ribs using like a hand truck to get his shit back to the table.
$1.99.
Yep. Come on down. Bring the kids. Bottomless bucket of shrimp. Come
That's
on
right.
down. Nothing's about health or quality. It's just about quantity and cheapness and
now
price.
And then the other thing I wanted to ask you about, along the same lines, but like the condoms, the Magnums?
Yes.
Isn't that...
Chaffee just ate one of those. I mean,
they claim they have nutritional value now.
Dick, to be honest, but you didn't pull it out of the wrapper. Yeah.
No, I mean, the
Magnum.
A condom stretches... A normal one's stretching to be about 55 inches.
They know what
right?
they're doing.
What the hell is that?
No, it's like, it just be like.
I can get in a maximum condom, like as a suit. I can stand
inside
one.
No, look, we should. That's why the guys who invented the smart car are smart.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what do you drive?
Yeah.
Smart car.
Yeah.
Hey, I bought a smart car.
I drive a dumbass.
Yeah, right. Magnum, of course, going to get people to buy the Magnum, but it's also. You know, like that thing where you do that thing where you order the 22-ounce T-bone and then you only get halfway through it and then someone says, well, I guess your eyes were a little bigger than your stomach, son. I wonder if that ever happens with the Magnum.
Yeah.
Like, you're using a sandwich.
No, you're pulling it off your own penis walking.
You're using a zip tie to hold it on in the base. It's flopping around on your cock. And the lady's like,
hey.
Get your eyes were a little bigger than your cock, son.
Yeah.
Magnum. I think guys just go in and buy. I would like to do an experiment. I'd like to do an experiment. Here's my experiment.
Yeah.
You ready? A
yeah.
social experiment.
Yeah.
We just open a fake liquor store.
Right.
And we put a super hot blonde chick behind the counter and have guys go in and just tell them, buy condoms.
Right.
Buy condoms.
Yeah, yeah.
And see how many of them point up and go, no, sweetie, give me the Magnum.
Yeah, right.
Versus
a small
the short Asian
small,
guy.
Yeah,
the short
Indian
Asian
man.
Guy.
Yeah.
For the guys who just go, yeah, regulars will do. Those are fine. I'll bet you we can do a social
there's
experiment.
No question that's true.
Some chick looks like Pam Anderson
that's
behind
right.
the counter.
Yeah, let me have your smallest condom. Not going
to
happen.
You'd have to do a group where you sent the same guys in like a week later to the same
right.
place to buy condoms. I bet they all step down to the micro size. Wow, we got a lot of work to do.
Yeah,
all right. We got to get the fake liquor store.
Yep.
So we can have the dunk
tank. We have
to
start interviewing employee potentials here.
Right. And we got to get the ropes.
Yes,
back
in the
class.
World, yes.
Right.
I haven't seen him, you're right.
Because it's really, again, symbolically, when you go, look, no one's making it up the rope because they're too fat, if your solution is take the rope down.
Yeah, the society just
we're
be,
done as a society.
Yeah, forget it. We used to be rope climbers. Now
right.
we're nothing.
Right. And it, like, it's the same thing with the standardized testing. Like, hey, this particular ethnic group is not passing this test.
Right.
Huh.
Huh, change it.
Well, let's modify it so they can pass it. Let's just ask them personal questions about their favorite team.
What's your uncle's name?
Yeah. All right. We got another call?
Yeah, we do.
All right, what the hell?
Take it.
We got Ty. He's got a home improvement question.
Uh-oh.
Ty?
Yes, what's going on, guys?
What's happening, Ty?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I have a question specifically about granite and the cost of granite. I'm designing a kitchen for my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been kind of getting quotes, and what I designed for him was kind of an island with a 6-foot by 9-foot size.
Wow.
And, yeah.
It's a big island. It's a lot of island.
Yeah. That's what the kids are doing these days, so I figure I'll give it.
Six foot by nine foot, that's like a yacht. That's it's mammoth. Yeah.
Yeah, his house is in Arcadia, and they have a sick amount of.
Well, what do you do on this island? You just put a whole cow on there and dissect it.
Let me say this. Let me say this about that island quickly, because 6 by 9 is a massive island. Do not put a sink in it that is too small for the island, that is dwarfed by the island, because it'll look weird when you have that little itty-bitty sink in the middle of this massive island.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I kind of designed for it was a 6-burner stovetop with the big, what do you call those?
Downdraft vent system?
No, not so much. It would probably be a hood over the...
Why not go with the downdraft system? You don't have to have the hood over there.
I'm not too confident on how well those downdrafts
work. They work, and they're cool because you hit a button and the thing goes...
Very much like our man Flint.
Yeah, it raises up. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it'll kind of be up to him, but I guess my question is that is it a substantial cost between one slab, 6 by 9?
What do you mean, from one slab to the next slab?
You mean finding a one that's that large?
Yeah, because we've been getting quotes, and I told my cousin he can get two pieces that are 3 foot by 8 or 3 foot by 9 and butt them together or get one huge slab. I don't know if you guys know what the cost is.
Okay, here's the thing. The slabs come in about a 5 by 9
But you can get oversized stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know about that big, though.
Well,
you'll be limited.
6 by 9 is about... you could probably find a slab of granite that's 6 by 9.
Right.
Now, handling that slab of granite is going to be a bitch because that thing's going to be really heavy.
Yeah. I mean,
really heavy. But obviously...
How are you going to get it in?
If you can get... Well, you have to turn it up on its edge, walk it through the whatever. I mean... You're going to have to use one of those dollies, one of those things they used to move glass, one of those like glass dollies.
Yeah.
Look, the point is doing it all out of the same rock is going to be nice because it's not going to change grain. It's not going to look different,
No
seams. I mean, I would definitely try to get this thing no seams. I'll tell you what I would do. Are you listening, caller? I would go to one of the stores. There's a million of them out here in North Hollywood area. I would go with my brother and find a slab that I liked, okay?
Okay.
And if that slab was a little bit smaller, like if the guy told you, look, by the time we trim it up and put a bullnose on it or whatever, it's not going to be 6 foot. It'll be 5'9½". So be it. Make the island 5'9½". You know what I mean?
Right.
Find the slab that you like that is pretty close to 6 by 9. Have the one piece of rock that he falls in love with, order that piece of rock, and then build the island to fit the rock. Because who the hell cares if it's 8'11" by 5'9" or 9'1" by 6'1"? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, do it that way.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Don't have the seam and find the slab first, then build the island.
Okay.
And who's fabricating it for you?
Well, it will definitely be these kitchen guys that do all this kind of stuff. I'm not really familiar with any particular company.
Yeah. If you can afford to get a slab and not have seams, you'll love it. It'll look way better.
Yeah. Well, on the other hand, I've also heard about granite tiles that are kind of like the floor tiles.
No, please, please don't do that. It's ghetto. Don't
ghetto.
Do it.
Low rent.
No, forget it.
Don't do it.
If you're going to spend all this time designing this beautiful thing and then you put that
do
in.
Do it on a single slab.
Hate
it's
it.
In Arcadia, city of homes. Come on.
All right, I'll do it the right way then. Thank you, guys.
All right, yeah. Because, listen, someone's going to spill a gravy boat, and it's going to go
right into the grout joint.
Right into the grout joint, and you're done.
Forget it.
All right. Eric Stromer.
Yes, sir.
I feel like this is a very positive way to end this show.
Yeah.
We both know that doing that tile on the countertop is ghetto.
Ghetto.
And, yeah, I gotta tell you, if you ever... When Eric, of course, has, but anyone listening, I swear to God, just for fun, go to one of those places that imports this rock. They'll tell you this thing came from a volcano in Peru.
Yeah, beautiful options.
And some of the stuff has like gold flakes in it, and crystal in it, and a lot of the stuff has fossils in it now,
yes,
and veins of purple and green and orange. I mean, it's some of the most magical shit you'll ever see.
Beautiful.
And it's unbelievable. Like, you'll go, God, what can't nature produce? And the colors are amazing, and they're so vibrant, it's insane.
Right.
And even though it's not cheap, the idea that somebody mined this out of a hole in South America next to a volcano and then cut it with a wet saw so it was an inch thick and then brought it over here in a container ship, and now the guy wants $850 for it. It doesn't sound like that much when you're standing next to it.
That's right.
So go out, pick out the slab, fall in love with it, and build the island to the slab.
Good idea.
All right. Stromer, always a delight. While you were, oh, no, over your head, not while you were gay. HGTV.
126th episode.
Holy Christ.
Can you believe that?
Never ends.
Never ends.
And also, website, anything like that you want to go
yeah,
through?
And the AOL, I'm doing a show, DIY with Eric Stromer. You can learn little fancy tips on how to do stuff, so check that out as well.
All right. Well, the great Eric Stromer. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Eric Stromer saying, mahalo.
Follow Adam Carolla on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Reach him via Skype at Adam Podcast or through the mail at Adam Carolla Podcast, 10061 Riverside Drive, number 276, Toluca Lake, California, 91602.